Welcome to this Saturday set, and we have arrived at the best day of the Spring Carnival. I know I say it every week, but I've done the form. This is it. The cards across Flemington and Randwick are unbeatable. We're going to unpack it all. I won't be wheeling out this is the best day of the carnival again anytime going forward. So we're going to, this is it. Let's rip in. And how are you today, the King Zone?
I'm fantastic. NRL Grand Final day on Sunday as well. It's a mini Cox plate on Saturdays.
What
great, Turnbull? Great racing.
Is that what you're calling it? Okay.
A mini Cox plate. The entree before the main course.
Now, we were pretty worried about our old comrade, the Fizzer, weren't we?
He was in awful trouble.
He was on his deathbed and we thought he wasn't going to make it in. He wasn't in the den yesterday. I've never ever seen him not turn up. I didn't sleep last night.
He hasn't been in all week.
What would we have done if he wasn't here today? Like, would we have done the show or not?
We would have soldiered on, and we would have got a camera into his house, straight into his bedroom, because the viewers need you, Fitz. Yeah. They can't live without you.
This is him emerging this morning. Here it is here. He came out of the tomb.
I'm still recovering from the filthy Billy Ray Cyrus.
How good's ChatGPT? But good to have you in here, mate. You ready to do
yeah,
what you do?
I'm on the recovery mode. I'm good. I'm ready to get them.
Very good. All right. Well, let's start with the mini Cox plate then. The Turnbull Stakes at Flemington for 2025. No replays. We know all these horses very well. I couldn't really see any point in putting any of them up. So let's just get straight into it. Of course, the great mare, the champ, Via Sestina. Pretty tasty price for her, but gee, she's got some competition. What are we going to do?
Well, yeah, and the 2026 Cox Plate will be run at Flemington as well, as we all know. That this is a really, really tricky race for me. Very interesting map here with no leader at all. I thought Golden Path from Barrier 3, Jordan Childs, would push forward and lead. Sir Delius from 14, Craig Williams, will look to come across and get in as he did in the Underwood. But the tempo was pretty not that fast earlier. It's just a really tricky map. What do you think of the map here, Fitz?
Yeah, it was an ugly map.
Can I interrupt and say, what are the jockeys going to learn from what happened last time in the Maccabi, obviously when Mr. Brightside just controlled everything? I know Mr. Brightside's not in here, but
yeah, is it 2,000 bit different to the what distance
1,600
was that?
1,600, yeah.
A little bit different this race, but yeah. Look, I'm hoping Sir Delius pushes forward, Kings. That's my hope. Problem was the gate speed last start. It wasn't very quick out of the gates. They did hunt forward to try and get a posse. But, yeah, the speed for a lot of these horses is genuinely the key to a lot of these runners. You look at Antino. Yeah, there's a lot of them that get
back. Isn't Sir Delius' profile a little bit like Mr. Brightside in the sense that he can be on pace, and what happens if...
No.
So you don't think Willow's going to try and stack him up on Sir Delius like he did on Mr. Brightside?
No.
No, I don't think he'll lead. No, I don't think he'll lead.
Because he's forced the closest he's been. So he's first up at Randwick, he sort of was forced to go forward because he wanted to slot in midfield and was forced to go forward and sit outside, I think, Lindemann, was it? Mm. And last up was drawn wide as well, and sort of that was a fairly slow run race and still didn't go to the lead and sat sort of 1-1. Mm-hmm. I don't think Craig Williams would be looking to go to the lead, nor do I think he should go to the lead, because there's a lot in the – so I think Golden Path will definitely go forward. Then there's a whole group of horses, and then you've got horses that are going to go back. Antino, Land Legend, and Middle Earth will go back. Like a horse like Aliana could really push forward and sit fourth. So out of that bunch in the middle there, I don't think you want to be getting – in the second half of this field. Mm-hmm. I think those horses that get in the second half of this field will struggle. I don't have a great feel for this race, because then you've got Via Sestina as well. Like you're talking about Sir Delius leading. Well, James could, I don't think he will, but he could lead from barrier one on Via Sestina if he wanted to. I don't suggest that he will want to at all, though. I think he'll be maybe fourth fence or what do you think, Via Sestina, sixth fence or fourth fence?
I had it a little bit further back than that, but maybe just because of drawn gate one. But do they want to use up Via to try and hold a spot? Who knows? Thought half yours, just based on last start where it sat third behind the pretty slow tempo again. That race could hunt up from barrier four. The pace is the query in this race, but let's get down to the winners.
I don't have a great feel for this race. I just want to talk about ratings, as in time ratings, between the distances of 1,800 and 2,200 peak ratings for these horses. Via Sestina, 112 off the Cox Plate win. Still leads the way if you take that out on 105. Antino next best, 103 from up in Brizzy. Sir Delius, 102, which was his first run in Australia in that Brizzy run. Then you get down to half yours on 99, last start. And Aliana's ratings, top ratings, 98. So she's got a bit of a way, and she can do it, but she's got a bit of a way to go. I'm just going to quickly go through these horses. Let's do this together, Fizz. Antino, I think, better suited to 2000s, but going to get too far back in this race that it's not going to be run at a fast tempo, I don't think.
Thought it was the only blowout chance.
You give it a chance. It seems a decent price.
Yeah, I thought it was the blowout of any of the ones that are at double figures.
Then we get to Sir Delius. I think 2000 suits better than the 1600 and the 1800. I think overseas Sir Delius won group one, ran in the arc, ran eighth over 2400. But all these runs overseas were on soft tracks and they're over 2400 metres. Won a group two definitely overseas. I'd just have to check. I think won a group one as well.
Okay.
So I think he's looking for longer. What worries me a little bit about Sir Delius in this race is he's being set for a Melbourne Cup.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Cox Plate in 2 weeks and he's got a Melbourne Cup in three weeks is the Cox Plate, is it? So the Caulfield Cup's in 2 weeks, is it?
Correct.
Yeah. Right. So Cox Plate in 3 weeks and then backing up into a Melbourne Cup. So this isn't his grand final. What do you think of Sir Delius?
I believe what I see. I think it's the one to beat. And $5 looks juicy just to find out.
I thought price-wise, if you're framing a market, I saw they put up $6 or something. I thought that was a pretty good price if you're like framing a market. I agree with you. Have you backed Sir Delius?
I had something small on Sir Delius around the $6 mark.
So you knocked the odds off on everyone, eh?
Definitely.
From your sick bed, you've just gone bang, crash, wallop. Via Sestina. Now, Via Sestina is such an interesting horse because – she's following the same path as what she did last spring.
Yep.
Her ratings are very similar to what she did last spring as well because of the eye you'd say, oh, has she regressed? Ratings-wise, she hasn't. Chris Waller loves following the same path. I think that she will run a much improved race as she did last year winning this race, but I think that this Turnbull's stronger than the 2024 Turnbull.
Mm.
I don't think she's of great price at $2.60. I think she'll drift.
Okay.
What I find interesting about Via Sestina is that James has gone down to rider.
Yeah, well, I think it was in the media this week saying, Waller said, on your way, son, he wanted to stay here and ride Autumn Glow. And Waller made the captain's call, said, you're going down to ride V.
So what does that say? What does that say to you as far as intent? A word that George Moore loves using, the king of YouTube comments, loves using the word intent. What does that say to you about the intent of Via Sestina in the Turnbull?
I would say that they're more desperate to win a group one with Autumn Glow. So I'm a bit confused by that.
Mm. Well, I'd say Via Sestina will be getting to her peak for this Turnbull because James has gone down there.
Right. You think they have as much 10 as ever?
Signals. If James didn't go down there, I would say Cox Plate for Via, but I think they want to win Turnbull and Cox Plate.
Yeah.
And the second run was her flat run. I think she'll be hard to beat, but I don't think 260 is a price. What do you think about good price? What do you think about Via, Fitz?
Via's Via. Good, great horse, great chance. Barrier one, I don't know if that's good or bad for Via. Just depends where James gets to. But I think this weekend we'll see him get off the fence a little bit at Flemington. He'll get it out. And, genuine favourite and deserves to be favourite.
Sweet.
I'm still going. Half yours. Up in grade, couldn't be on half yours.
Nah, not for me.
Seems like it's a bit of a barrier trial for half yours getting it.
It's going for the Caulfield Cup,
drilled right
it?
Down for the Caulfield Cup. Yeah, give it a good gut buster and it'll be cherry ripe for 2 weeks' time in the Caulfield Cup.
And Aliana as well, 2,000 metres suits her better, but she needs to go to another level. Can she, Fitz?
Yeah, I think she can.
So you don't really have a plan in the race?
No. I spoke about a race for a long time that I'm not betting in.
Well, Fizz is pretty confident on Sir Delius, so we'll go with that.
No, I'm just like Sir Delius as a horse, and as everyone knows, I'm on it to win the Melbourne Cup, and I'm just going to keep going on it every run this prep, and if it keeps lobbing for me, I'll be happy.
Excellent.
If I was going to have a bet in the race, I'd back Sir Delius.
Great. Unity. Good. Let's move on. We've got one more feature race to look at down at Flemington. We've got four huge feature races from Randwick. And we're going to look at the Dane Hill Stakes for the three-year-olds. And I've got a replay here. We're going to watch Rosberg in the Mackenzie at the Valley. So this was Rosberg's first ever start. Not the sharpest field. Big boom on him. Clinton McDonald, obviously. I think they had a good crack at him. And it's pretty rare that a horse can come and win a listed race like this, in particular at the Valley, at its first start. Finishes very strongly. They put him up pretty short in the Danehill. Let's bring the market up now. I think he went up about $3 or something. He's drifted out a bit. There's been money for some of those other horses. Pretty hot field. Interesting to see Tentris back. Mm. There's a bit of Everest implications here because if one of these horses was to run really well, they could absolutely go into an Everest. Giga Kick won this race, say, 3 years ago, whatever it was, and then won the Everest. So a bit of an Everest trial, this one. And, of course, it's a good lead up to the Coolmore Stud Stakes. Exciting race. Talk to us.
I think it's an impossible race. I've got My Gladiola on top.
Mm.
My Gladiola's the one that I would sort of gravitate towards. Big win a couple of weeks ago down the straight. Rosberg's a really interesting horse going from the Valley, which looked sort of unsuitable, I think, the Valley for Rosberg. Mm. But hasn't been down the straight though, but I've just got a feeling will be suited down the straight. And then you've got a lot of horses apart from Tentris. So I'll get back to the other group of horses, but Tentris won the Todman, second in a Blue Diamond, pretty good jump out. So we don't know how good Tentris has come back. So it's a really tricky race. Then you've got that group of horses, Jimmy, Tycoon, Legacy Bound, Shining Star, and McGaw, that are all coming out of that same sort of clump of the same form.
Yep.
I don't think the winner will come out of that. I think the winner will be My Gladiola or Tentris, but I'm not betting.
Thank you. Fizzer.
Nine runners in this race. I wrote nine hopes. So that's how hard that okay. race is yes. to me. I thought the race was I couldn't talk anyone out of anything they liked, and I have no interest in backing any of them. I watched everything, like King said, we watched the Legacy Bound race where it fell in. I love Legacy Bound. I think it's a really good horse. Tycoon Star had its chance. I don't know how they've swapped in price. I don't know how Legacy Bound's a bigger price than Tycoon Star after that last run, but maybe it's a weight thing. They've all had jump outs down the straight, or a lot of them have. I didn't mind Tentris's run down the straight the other day. Rosberg was impressive, has to do it down the straight. It just looked way too hard for me, and the market sort of suggests that with a $4.20 favourite and quite an open field.
Okay, beautiful. And if you want to go to the first major race day of the Spring Carnival, which is not this Saturday but the Saturday after, of course, the Caulfield Guineas, our good friends of the Melbourne Racing Club are giving two complimentary tickets. To access them, just go and hit the link in the description. You can go for free. Magnificent deal. Imagine two free tickets to Caulfield Guineas. How good's that?
Sensational. What a great day's race. It just gets better. It's just
ramping right up. Let's go to Randwick, where it's one of the biggest days of the spring at Randwick. And we're going to start with a Randwick Race 6. We've got three Group 1s and a Group 2. We're going to start with the three-year-old fillies in the Flight Stakes. I'm excited to talk to you about this one, King Zone. Let's go and have a look at Apocalyptic in the T-Rose, because this is basically the same bunch of horses going around again. Of course, that Apocalyptic and Tommy Berry were 3 and 4 wide the entire trip. Tommy just sat quietly on her and lit her up at the 300, as you can see, and she's... It's a very dominant win. It's the same bunch of horses again. Mm. How are they going to turn the tables, King?
That's two Bacara in the blue there, number two, fading out to run third.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Apocalyptic, great horse. And as you said, from about the 1,100 to 500, sat three wide, no cover, over 1,400 metres. Now goes to 1,600 metres. But they have put – so last race – Tupacara was $3.20 into $2.50.
Mm.
Apocalyptic was $2.50 out to $3.
Yes.
And we saw what happened. So obviously Tupacara was an extremely disappointing run, but it's just going to be hard to see Tupacara turning the tables on Apocalyptic here. What worries me about this race, though, is are the two leaders out of that race that we just saw aren't in this race.
Mm.
There's no pace in this race. Tupacara will go forward, could lead from probably leads from 10. Enviable may go forward from barrier 9. They're drawn barrier 9 and 10. I think those horses will go forward. Apocalyptic will get into about 4th or 5th and just sit behind them. The other horse I thought was not a bad bet for a place was Queen of Clubs.
Okay.
Queen of Clubs dropped out, ran home, 1,600 suits better as well. Taken back from the wide barrier last time, I think can run home for a place. I don't know. It's short enough Apocalyptic, but and my data, when I looked at it this morning, it hasn't come out as a bet off the data, but what I think personally is Apocalyptic, myself, I think Apocalyptic is the best bet of the day. I can't see how they're going to beat her, but I am always wary about races that have lack of pace on paper, which is a great horse, nothing official.
Just before I go to you, Fizzer, remember this race last year, so Autumn Glow was about $1.90 favourite, I think, as well, maybe even shorter. Then she came out on the morning and then suddenly a horse called Lady Shenandoah became favourite.
Wow.
It's funny, a year in racing is a long time, isn't it?
Sure
no one,
is.
No one cared about Lady Shenandoah back then.
There you go.
Anyway, what is your thoughts on this race,
Fizzo? Yeah, I was in cahoots with the Kings Zone. I had 1 and 3. Apocalyptic and Tupacara were my top picks off my ratings. But when I looked at the race, I don't have a clue how Tupacara can possibly turn the tables after that run. I don't think it hit the line well at all, Tupacara. It was weakening late. To me, an extra 200 doesn't suit. The only two out of that race I could have something on to beat Apocalyptic if I was going to take it on would be Within the Law, who sat 5 wide, 4 wide and came down the centre of the track, or Queen of Clubs, which scooted up the inside and hit the line nicely and through the line. It was good. So, look, Apocalyptic, I don't know. The more I look at it, I think $1.85 is a good price. I don't know. Like you, Kings, the only doubt was the lack of tempo. Mm. And we've all seen it. Yes, Tupacara might get a soft lead, but I don't think that's going to turn the tables, because it doesn't have the sprint or the dynamic. I didn't see anything in its run that could make me back it. It
went awful.
Apocalyptic for me.
I feel like we know Tupacara's ceiling. Like, she's had plenty of goes.
I know one thing. I'll be backing Apocalyptic.
Yeah, and then Apocalyptic could end up being a really, really nice horse.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I backed it for the slipper before it went out.
Yeah, around this time last year, you said back Apocalyptic for the slipper.
I backed it to win the slipper, 40-1.
I did as well.
Went a miss, yeah. Yeah, she went a miss. I backed her first start. She should have won first start. She was the best thing beaten you've
ever seen. Yeah, I remember that too.
Anyway, that's it. I could only back Apocalyptic because Within the Law and Queen of Clubs unsuited by the pace, and Tupacara, as we just said, I don't think 1600 suits. And I do think Apocalyptic, who was strong through the line, can improve even further over distance.
Cool. All right, let's move to race 7. It is the Premier. Very interesting race. To get us in the mood, it's the Sprinters, of course. Let's watch the shorts, which was called a Mini Everest. This is another Mini Everest. So what do we got here? We've got Private Harry about to pack it in. We've got Briasa booming into it. And, of course, here comes J-Mac and Jolly Star over the top, one of the wins of the spring so far. Really puts a few lengths on Briasa, which was the most impressive part. Watch him go to the line. Now, I'm going to make a comment when the market goes up.
You make it.
How could you possibly back Private Harry at 420 when you could back Jimmy Star at 380?
I'm going to make a comment.
Right.
You're correct for the first time in your life.
great.
Jimmy Star is a great bet. Jimmy Star gets into a small field. Jimmy Star trial was fantastic. Jimmy Star up to 1,200 metres. He'll be in touch at the home bend. Briasa, Tyler Schiller... Nini, I don't mind Briasa. I think it's a great horse, but Jimmy Star for me all the way in this race. It's not an official.
Oh, come on, mate.
I'm excited.
What do you need to make it official, mate, these days?
I just need a little bit more, and it's just not there.
You need 420.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we need from you. Kingzone, what do you got to add?
When they came out of the barriers in the shorts, Briasa was drawn next to Private Harry. Briasa was drawn 3, I think, Private Harry 4, and Briasa went left and knocked Private Harry, who was came out about a length. And what's the jockey's name again, who they got taken off?
Ash Morgan
rode, which I think he did the right thing, rode Private Harry quite aggressively. And the connections think that was the reason why Private Harry was so weak late. I'm not so sure about that.
There's a little bit of mail like that Private Harry was a bit fat.
Sure.
I
hope I'm wrong for the connections and that he comes out and wins for him. But I just, the way he just followed up so quickly in the high pressure race that the shorts was, I was just like, nah, he's not up to weight for age. And most people think that, you know.
So you just said he was a bit fat. What you mean he wasn't ready?
I don't know. I'm only going on what a few people have told me.
Well, let's just assume
me.
He was a bit fat. Yeah. Does that mean he wasn't ready for that race and he will improve?
I don't know. He might get knocked about too. There's two ways of thinking when a horse is a bit chunky and a bit fat. The way it ran and how bad it was, and it can really hurt them at their next start as well.
Right.
My thinking with this race, the bottom four on the market there, on the Ladbrokes market, aren't good enough to win this race. I think Private Harry... I think you're going to have to be strong at 1,200 metres to win this race. I don't think Private Harry is strong at 1,200 metres. So that leaves you with two hopes, the one Jimmy Star and the two Briasa. I prefer Briasa, but $1.95 I don't think is any luxury at all. And for me at the moment, it's a no bet race, but I think the winner will come from one or two, and there's no value there at the moment.
All right, let's move.
Value, $4, Jimmy Starr.
Let's move to one of the great races on the calendar. It is the Epsom Baby Winx. They're calling her Baby Winx. Autumn Glow is favourite. She drew 14, so she got out. She's about $1.80 during the week and got out to, I think there was even as much as $2.40 yesterday.
Mm.
Baby Winx, who's calling her that?
A few people.
That's a bit rich.
Yeah. So, King Zone, what are we going to do? You've loved her all along.
I do love her.
But
I love her. I've got genuine feelings for her. But this race, well, it doesn't worry me. I do think she'll win.
Okay.
But I do think 225 is a ridiculously short price. And the reason why she's so short is because what she's been doing on the clock has been quite exceptional sectionally and overall. I do think she'll improve going up to 1,600 metres. But what worries me is there's not a bloke called James McDonald on her on Saturday, and she has drawn barrier 14. So there's quite a bit of pace drawn inside her here. I think Fully Lit will lead.
Mm.
I think El Costello can go forward. Pericles can go forward. Yellow Brick can go forward.
Chow Wolf won the race last year. Let's not forget. This was what put him on the scene, Chow Wolf. Obviously, he's not in the form that he was. But
where do you think of Autumn Glow fits?
What do I think of it?
What do you think of in this race? Well, I think she's a superstar, in this race?
Mate, the office concerns barrier 14. Like, where's Karen going to get the horse to? Is she going to get a back to follow? Is she going to get caught with no cover? There's a lot of queries there for a horse to take $2.25. Is she the best horse in the race? Yes, she is. Gets in light. So that's all a positive, right?
Do you think she'll improve as she gets over more distance?
I've always thought she'd improve over more distance. So, yeah, I think the 1600's perfect at this time of her preparation, and I've got a top pick.
Do you think she'll drift?
Oh, yeah, slightly. I reckon we'll get a little bit bigger.
Take 280?
Yeah, I'd take 280, yeah.
Okay, that's where it's at. Yeah. I'm pretty much in the same boat. But while she's so short, I think there was three horses who I think are over the odds in this race, and they aren't Pericles or Chio Wolf, because I think that weight, they're just not well weighted. I like these a few down in the weights. So I thought Pier, which I tipped last time against Autumn Glow for the same race multi, Pier got home for third, I think. Has a really high peak rating from that Queensland win. Gets in with 53.5. 1,600, I think, suits. I think Willie Doit will improve as well. Goes from barrier 15 to barrier 2. Never got really clear last start. Had a mid-prep trial as well. And the other one, which could go forward from barrier 1's El Costello. Once again, suited at 1,600 metres. Another mid-prep trial. Ran fourth to Autumn Glow last time. So I thought those horses, from a pure overlay point of view, I could be on.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we talked about Autumn Glow. I've got a top pick. I'll probably be on it. Willie Doit was, I thought, the obvious danger in mine. I don't like Chow Wolf. Pericles, good hope if it it goes and does what it did last start. But, yeah, Willie Doit for me, sneaky little run in the tramway last start. And I thought it was the danger to the big fella, Autumn Glow, or the big girl.
And the other thing is the bias on the day. If the outside's not good and the fence is on fire, makes it very hard to win. I wouldn't.
Yeah, either way, I wouldn't shopping.
Be. If you like Autumn Glow, wait.
Yeah.
And you mentioned same race multis, and I quite like using the same race multis. Ladbrokes have them, especially the way this show is, where the boys are tipping favourites or whatever, and then they like rougher price horses because you can back them in the top four as well. Mm. So there's a bit of. Yeah, if you use your brain, you can find some nice little and the multiplier is quite good because say you take like $1.90 something into $1.80 to run the top four.
Yep,
you know, what do you end up with, like a bit over $3?
Yeah, I never really looked at them, but when we did look at that Autumn Glow Pier one, you were saying how good a value it was on the Thursday.
Yeah. Mm. So check those out. Now we're going to go to the last of the feature races, and is the Metropolitan. No superstars in this horse, but we're going to go back and watch the Newcastle Cup from the 19th of September. Because the first three across the line are very high up in the order of the market for the Metropolitan. So who we got? We've got Soul of Spain on the fence, is going to go and win. You got Johnny Travolta in the middle there in the similar colours to Royal Supremacy from Australian Bloodstock. They go to the line in a bit of a bunched three-way finish. But Soul of Spain reigns supreme. There's the market. Birdman has been in good form as well, finally finding some good form in Australia. Over to you.
Those were good, those Newcastle Cup days, weren't they? The Newmarket. Was it the Newmarket yeah, Newcastle Cup?
Yeah.
Great times. Yes, I like this race.
Good.
I like the 2025 Metropolitan. Let's go through the horses that I don't like. And the first one is Vauban.
Okay, he's gone.
Terribly disappointing last start, 58.5. I'm really interested to see how he goes from a Melbourne Cup point of view as well. Yeah. You give Vauban any hope, Fitz?
I don't like the race at all.
Okay, I'm going to leave you out of this then because I do like this race. And I do like it because of the horses I don't like. So Vauban, gone. Arapahoe, I won't go into it too much, but barrier 12 with 58 kilos, too much weight, gone. Number four, Changing of the Guard. Wrong setup here. There's a fair bit of pace in this race. Small field last time. Up in race pressure, up in race strength, gone. Three in the market, Penham. Birdman. See the trainer there? See Waller. See the barrier? Barrier 16. Kieran's
no good to you.
No good to me. Where's Kieran going to go? He's going to have to go back. He's going to get in. He's going to have to. Has Birdman got the sprint? He's got the weight at 51.5, but I just think he's going to have to do too much. I'm not going to say he's gone. I'm going to pen the other three. Birdman, I think he's unders at $6, but he can win the race. Let's get to the horses that I do like, and a lot of them are coming out of that Newcastle Cup run that I saw. Number nine, the winner, Soul of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Came across from Ireland,
mm-hmm.
had a prep, did a little bit. This prep, new horse, three runs, three wins. You love those horses coming over from the UK that are having their second prep and going to keeps improving, going to a new level. Gets in really well at the weights with 50.5. 50.5 with Zachy Lloyd on. I think deserves to be favourite, and I think will start favourite. Next one I like. Number 14, Wycliffe. He won't be on your screen the there. You know why? Because he's 100-1. 100-1 Wycliffe. Ran fourth in that Newcastle Cup we just saw.
Hmm.
Dropped 6.5 kilos. Number 15, Don Diego De Veda.
Not on the page again.
Not on the page. Nah,
what price Donnie?
Oh, Donnie's about 33-1, I think. Sixth in the Newcastle Cup. Didn't run well. Forgive. Prior to that, Grafton Cup winner.
Mm-hmm.
50 kilos, massive tick. Next one, number 16, Flying Bandit. Getting to the right distance. You know how much Flying Bandit drops in weight?
Tell me.
12.5
wow.
kilos. 12.5 kilos.
So that's 62.5.
Yep, 62.5 last start, drops to
50.
50. Now, this is a first on the Saturday set. I've got four official Group One Metropolitan tips. Put them in your exotics. Box them in your first fours. Box them in your Quinellas. Put them in your same race multis and get on, because I am very, very confident in this race that the winner will come from those four horses.
Fantastic. Fizzo, what else you got to add, mate? How can you possibly add
anything? Nothing. How do you have four tips in one race? That's the best. You're the best, King Zone. I don't like anything impossible. Leave it out. Leave Sweet. Me out of this race.
Fantastic. No. That's the feature race is done. And that means it is time for the official Saturday sets.
Well, that was, yeah, we just saw my officials there in the Metrop. I thought Saturday was a pretty hard day all round. Mm-hmm. There was nothing really jumping off the page at me. It's a real day for value, which I don't mind on a Saturday, especially as we saw last Friday and Saturday night. Eight favourites in group races, eight favourites all rolled. Let's go to Doomben, race four. I won't go into them too much. Number one, Boomshot gets blinkers off. And number six, He-Man
mm-hmm.
is around the $10. Great track and distance stats. I thought both of them were really good value. Then my Metrop ones. The only other one I was interested in was She's an Artist in the first race at Flemington. She's an Artist failed first up. It's not an official Saturday set tip, but I'd love to know if She's an Artist is right, drawn off the track in 14 or 15, which will suit. If there's money for She's an Artist, I'm definitely going to get on.
Okay, so that's a half Saturday set.
It's a halfer.
Halfer.
Harvey, you
Fizzer, like your Harvey full can... full Saturday set. Please.
Right. All right, so I'll start in Doomben race 7, number 15, Synergy in Motion. This horse won well last start. I think this race sets up really well. It gets in really light this weekend, and I'm pretty excited about its hopes this weekend. We go to race 9 in Doomben, number 14. First up for a new stable, M. Dunn's got this one now. I liked its couple of trials. I think it'll sit just behind the leaders and be very hard to beat. Then I'll go to Kalgoorlie for one. We've got Pike on board. Race 6, number 4, Immortal Bliss. It'll have to get back from the wide gate. There was, I think there was only one join up this morning, so we'll wait and see what price they put it up. And then we'll go to Morpheville, race 9, number 14, a first for the Saturday set. I'm tipping my own horse here up the den. So we've never tipped it on the Saturday set before.
Have you got mail?
Have you got mail? No mail. All I know is that we've been waiting for this horse to draw a gate, scratched a million times, finally drawn a gate, sets up perfectly this race, gets in super light. He's put a little 3-kilo claimer aboard, Caitlin Toodle. She's got to sit and steer, we hope. And, yeah, it'll be up there on speed and $11. Why not have a crack? That's what I've done.
Sit and steer, stand and cheer.
That's a hope.
Toot.
And then we'll go to Flemington for one. Did the job for me last start when I was on. So race 7, number 15, Gilded Water. There's not a heap of tempo in this race. I think she'll just push from a wide gate, sit outside the leader, and I think the 2,500 shouldn't be any problem heading to, I think it's going to the Melbourne Cup. So, yeah, looking for this one to step up to that trip and get us the cash on the weekend, hopefully.
Very good. Thank you very much. You going to watch the rugby league on Sunday night?
I'm going. I'm heading out there. Yeah, I'm very, very confident about my Broncos. I've been talking about them probably for the last 9 months. Mm-hmm. And Sunday is the day when they will hold the trophy up. Very confident. I just think it's their time. I'm a big body language man, as you know, for grand finals. And I didn't like Craig Bellamy's body language in the press conference either. I thought there's a bit of negativity in there, and I don't think he's as confident as he has been in recent years. But I just love the Broncos, Reece Walsh. I'm going to back Payne Haas for Churchill Medal winner as well.
Okay. I'm sure it's a significant six-figure result for you. Has it ever crossed your mind to do any crushing back?
Yeah, it has. Really? I'm not saying I wouldn't. It always crosses my mind. If I got a price I think was good enough for Melbourne, which is $4.80, I would have something on. But no, I think, I'm not going to bet because they put up $1.70, which I think is very short price. So, no, I'm going to the line, going to the match, I'm going to enjoy it, and Brisbane will win.
You're in Brisbane?
I'm on Brisbane. We're all on them at the start of the year. Yep. I secured a little bit of $13. Ooh. And yeah, I've been watching the games with my son every week, and we've ridden that last 15 minutes really hard the last few games. It's been so good.
Stressful.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just been so good.
Yeah, it's great.
Stressful,
yeah.
How good are the matches? Yeah, just so good. Such good footy games. So much fun to watch. And
You're confident?
I am confident. I think Brisbane will win. Yeah, and with you. I don't think Melbourne I don't think they're as good as everyone thinks they are.
I don't think they've played well.
I think they've been playing pretty ordinary.
They're very physical, the Broncos, aren't they? They could really get out
there. They are. I just hope they don't let them get too much of a lead. You can't keep doing that and running them down. But you know what? It's grand final day. They might come out of the box.
You can't drop your guard for 1 minute because remember the Broncos, what were they up, 28-4? What were they up over? Was it 28-12? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was about 16. I think Penrith scored 3 tries.
16-4 or something. They might have been up.
Unbelievable
what it was. But
great game.
And Kingsland, you're hanging out with the greatest Melbourne Cup winning jockey ever. Is that right? Is Bossy the greatest Melbourne Cup winning jockey ever?
I don't think so. I think someone's won 4. But Bossy's obviously won 3. Mm. But we had a lot of fun. We had a great chat. And I actually quizzed him on what he looks for in doing the form for finding a Melbourne Cup winner as well. So I won't go into what he said, but very interesting.
I've watched half of the podcast. It just popped up this morning. I'll put the link in the description if you want to go and check it out. That's it. Saturday set done for another week.
Let's get out there and back some winners.
Let's do it. Up the den. Stay safe.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.